Good morning and welcome back to Nachi Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Vov, the sixth Perek of Yechezkel. This is a very short Perek. It is only of 14 psukim. It is an accounting of two things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel to do, and they're very simple, or seemingly simple, things. The prophecy involves an action, as they seem to have up till now. And the first one is facing the hills of Israel. So this runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Yud. The first 10 psukim, very simple. He tells him, Ben Adam, son of man, which is the way Yechezkel is addressed through the Sefer, Simponecho al Harei Yisrael v'inove alehem. Turn your face to the hills of Israel and say the following prophecy to them. We should all be aware that he's turning south because he is in Babylon right now. So he's facing in a southerly direction. This is what he's supposed to say. He is talking, so to speak, to the personified hills of Israel. And he says, "Koyamar Hashem Elokim, larim v'lagvoyos lafikim v'lagvoyos hinanim ani mevi aleichem cherev v'ibadti es b'moseichem." I'm going to destroy on you the mountains, the hills, and your b'mos. A b'mo is literally an altar which was used to serve Hashem, but it was used to serve Hashem not in the Beis Hamikdash. So somebody wanted to serve Hashem in their own personal way without going to the Beis Hamikdash. This would be what they would do. And it would be also at the times that there was the Beis Hamikdash. But not only that, he goes on to say that he's going to obliterate and annul all these altars, which are used to serve Avodah Zarah, not just Bamos. And on them will be your corpses. Meaning, Nosatias pigrei b'nei Yisrael lifnei gilulehem, v'zeirosias atzmoseichem, sivivoyes mizbochoseichem. I'm going to spread around your bodies, your bones, around your altars. The things that you served will now be your undoing. And this is how it's going to be. Leman yecherevu v'yeshvu mizbechoseichem, v'nishperu v'nishpesu gilulechem. In order that your altars will become indicted, and your gilulechem, your idolatrous servings, your images will be resting. And your sun service, idols or divining places will be cut off. And your actions, although which you created, will melt. So it's a description of the destruction of all their avodah zarah. And why is this? When you die, you'll notice v'idatem ki ani Hashem. You'll know that I am Hashem, your God. And then Hashem goes on to say further, not only am I going to destroy your hills and your avodah zarah and you on your hills, but rather v'hosarti b'yos lachem plitei cherev bagoyim v'hizoroseichem baratzos. I'm going to leave you over as the refugees of sword among the nations, and then v'zachru plateichem oisi, and your refugees, you Jews around the world, will remember me. And you're going to say, Asher nishparti es libom hazono, asher some alai, ve'esanichem hazono achari gilulechem. And you will remember that I destroyed your hearts and your eyes, which strayed against after all these terrible avodah zarahs. Fascinating point. Of course, this is clearly corresponding to v'loisosuru achari levavchem v'achari nechem, not to stray after your hearts and your eyes. Here Hashem is breaking their straying hearts and eyes. Why? Again, to know that I am Hashem. I did not speak in vain. This is prophecy 1. Prophecy 2 is from Yud Aleph to Yud Aleph, pretty simple, where Hashem says, now what you're supposed to do is clap with your hands, stamp your feet, and cry out He'och, which is a cry of pain. Why? Because because of Israel who's dying through the sword and through famine and pestilence. He goes on to describe Harachoik, those who went far, those who escaped, will be killed by pestilence. By korov, those who stay in the city, by chervipol, by nishar, by notzur, by raav yamus, those who remain in the siege will die in famine. We've heard this division of threes beforehand. It may be the same division of threes, maybe a different division of threes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about how he's going to empty his anger on you. Why? Because just like on every top of every hill, you served all these avodah zarahs and you brought incense to all these terrible things. Well, you know what? V'natitzias yodi aleihem v'nosatias oretz shmama v'meshama mimidbar divlosa b'kol moshvaseihem. And I'm going to make this whole place like a desert. Divlosa. Divlosa, what the Mefarshim explains, probably means Rivlosa. Sometimes the Dalet and the Resh are interchangeable in a few places in Tanakh. And so Rivlah was actually the place that Nebuchadnezzar was encamped, as we saw in Yirmiyahu. I'm going to make your whole land like Rivlah, which is going to be ultimately in the hands of the Babylonians. So two seemingly interesting actions. He's supposed to turn south towards the hills of Israel to make this prophecy. He's supposed to be clapping and stamping. What is going on over here? So the Abba now points out, why the hills and the valleys? Is, well, we know that there's one particular city in Israel which is called Harim Savivla, that is surrounded by hills, and that's referring to Yerushalayim. So this is clearly a prophecy towards Yerushalayim. So it's talking to the heartland, it's talking to the people of the capital, it's not just talking to the actual mountains. It's a personification of these mountains, because it's really talking to the people. It is interesting that the Rinas Yitzhak, Rav Sirotskin, points out that why is it that it says that he has to face the mountains. Why symbolically? Why can't he just say this prophecy, write it in a letter, you know, FedEx it, you know, send an email, whatever it is, get the message out. Why is he turning towards the mountains? So we've seen before that Yechezkel sometimes metaphorically represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, represents Hashem himself. And as Rashi points out in Parshas B'chukosah, when talking about the curses that are going to be brought upon Israel, specifically in the first destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, as the Ramban points out, unlike the ones in Kisovo, which are about the second exile under the Romans, Rashi points out and says, "Ufanisi alechem, I'm going to turn towards you." Hashem says, "I'm going to turn towards you." Here's Yechezkel turning towards Israel. What does that really mean? The Malbim there on the Torah says a fascinating insight. So that sometimes bad happens in the world, not because Hashem orchestrates the bad, but rather because HaKadosh Baruch Hu desists from his Ashgacha. Which means to say, when Hashem is protecting us and gives us a specific bubble of protection around us, then we're safe. When Hashem removes that bubble of protection, then bad things happen. When the police leave an area, what happens is looters, pillagers, all kinds of bad people come there because there's no law and order. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes, he turns away his face, bad things happen to the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that's not happening here. Here I'm actually turning my face that my Hashkocha, you've been so bad that my Hashkocha is to create bad. So it's not going to be natural evil in the absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or in the seeming absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating it, which is why it's so painful and so harsh. What does it mean that you will remember me in exile? So the Midrash in Shir HaShem Rabbah in Perek Zayin actually says, in the name of Rabbi Pinchas and Rabbi Chilkiah, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that it's referring to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Later on we're going to see that towards the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life, there's going to be in the valley of Dura, and Bikur Dura, there's going to be a statue which he demands everybody bows to, and there's going to be three individuals, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who are not going to bow to it. And when they don't bow to it, he's going to throw them into the furnace of fire, and they're going to survive. This is actually going to be a huge reformation for Nebuchadnezzar personally. But what this is referring to, says the Midrash Shir HaShir Rabbah, is when you are there, you're going to remember all the terrible things that came upon you because you served Avodah Zarah while I'm destroying your hills and you around your hills, and that's how you're going to rectify it. This is why the Midrash goes on to say it was such an indictment against Klal Yisrael when they ate Ne'enu Misuda Os Rasha. Why Bnei Yisrael ate from the Suda of Achashverosh, meaning to say, when they didn't learn the lesson of exile, which was supposed to be, they were learning as they saw the destruction happening. Very important. Why the clapping at the end? What's this whole second nevuah of clapping? So all Meforshim point out that these are expressions of Avedos. A person claps in anger, in pain, in hurt. A person stamping also again in pain and hurt and calling out Ach or Ach. Is a sign of distress and trauma that a person is expressing. They're doing this, or Yechezkel is doing this, to express the pain that he feels about Klal Yisrael. If we go on to say the same trajectory of idea that Yechezkel is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol, then as much as he's turning his face towards Klal Yisrael to create the bad that needs to happen to them, at the same time he's feeling the same pain of having to do it, like the parent who has to put their child through pain because it's necessary for the educational process, but it's still so painful for the parent to watch that. That seems to be what's happening over here, if you do put the two parts together. It is interesting, the one refrain that seems to be the framing refrain of this entire perek is the words V'yadatem ki ani Hashem, or V'yadu ki ani Hashem, that you should know I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be pretty clear about over here is that this is not simply understanding geopolitics. This is not simply about understanding why I was put into exile. It's fine to be able to understand a cause and effect in this world, but this is all for naught if we don't look at this, what happens, and understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating it, that there was a lesson that was meant to be taught. So many times we like to give reasons for events that happen in the world. You know, it's because of an alliance, it was because of you know, a particular political assassination, whatever else it is that we give reasons for world history events. Sometimes we need to just look at them and say, with the eyes of Tanakh, well, the reason it happened is because it was teaching us something. We have a responsibility to know this. Not what somebody else did, but what we did. Recently, there was a stone which fell out of the Kotel in the summer of 2018, and everybody was pointing fingers as to why it was. Was it the Kotel? Was it the Kotel Conservation Society, which wasn't doing its job and checking the wall? Was it the Reform Jews, because it landed on the Reform Jews platform? Who is to blame for the stone falling out? And in fact, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein from Bnei Brak, when he responding to this episode, made a very beautiful comment, and he said that when Yonah was on the boat, Yonah Hanavi, we will get to soon in Nachyami, Yonah was on the boat, and there was a terrible storm, and there's many people there, Phoenicians and Assyrians and Egyptians, everybody's there, and everybody starts calling out to their gods, and Yonah's there on the boat, there's 70 sailors. And what does Yonah say? Yonah says, you know what, I know that this entire sa'ar, this entire storm is because of me. In other words, when he looked at the pointing finger, he didn't blame the Phoenicians, didn't blame the Assyrians, didn't blame the Egyptians, he blamed himself. So when things happen, we need to understand there's something we can take from it. That's what Yechezkel is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning, he's putting his face towards the hills of Yerushalayim, and it's painful for him, he's clapping, he's stamping, he's crying out in pain. But understand that there's Virat and Kinashim. You need to know that this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.